This evening, we are going to talk about being unafraid, choosing to surrender our fears to God, What does that look like? It looks like this. What if my worst nightmare comes true? They probably think I'm inadequate. You fill in the blanks. Did I say that the wrong way? I think they took that the wrong way. What will happen to me if they downsize, if they do this? Everything is out of control. I feel so inadequate in my job. I think I'm going to be fired in any minute. Or something horrible is going to happen to my loved ones. Many of us are dragging through our days and we are weighed down by anxiety and fears. Many of us find our thoughts circling around problematic circumstances or people. For some of us, that anxiety has become the underlying soundtrack. It just plays in the background, always just plays in the background. It's become so familiar that we don't even notice that it's in the background of everything that we say, of all the stuff that's in there. The enemy has so ensnared us with these two little words, what if? Those two little words send our imagination swirling, send us spinning around and around and around, tales of doom, things that are lurking, things that are right there to whatever might lurk ahead. But we have a tool to defeat the what if, and it is found in two words, because God. So because God clothes the lilies of the field and he feeds the birds of the air, we do not need to be anxious about tomorrow. We find that in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts, our hope will not be put to shame. Romans 5:5. And because God chose us to be saved by his strength, we can stand firm in our faith no matter what our day holds. And we find that in Ephesians 3:16. So, our freedom will begin when we notice the thing that's holding us, the thing that is binding us. Then we can interrupt it with the truth. We can actually interrupt it with the truth. See, here's some of the what ifs that go on. What if I get too close to this person and she manipulates me like the last friend I trusted? So, keeps us backed off. What if my spouse cheats on me? What if my children die tragically? What if my boss decides I'm expendable? What if? It's where we go. Certainly, we have levels of anxiety that signal our brains to be afraid of things that are truly worth being afraid of. God gave us that emotion. And it is for us to truly, pay attention when there is something going on, like a bear in the woods. Thinking about when we were up in Glacier and we were in bear country, to say the least, and we were at the dusk part of the day, and I said to that sweet husband of mine, I'm only going in there on one condition, okay? That is that if I say that we're turning around and we're not going to make that loop, that we turn around and we come back. And he said, fair enough. But he said, I think we have plenty of time to make, you know, to make the loop. We should be just fine. So you go deeper and deeper. The woods get deeper and deeper. The hairs on my arm start standing up. Everything in me is on full alert. The deeper I got in there, and it just starts to kind of overtake you, and you can't see. Now dusk is kind of dark. It's actually quite dark. And I'm like, okay, all right, that's it. We're pulling the plug. Let's go back. And the voice of reason standing right beside me holds me close and says, it's closer now to keep going than it is to turn around and go back. It will take us longer to go back than it will to go forward. We have to keep moving forward. You know, let's pick up the pace and keep moving forward. He was my voice of calm, my voice of reason, and let me know that going backwards was not the thing to do. Literally, not even kidding about this, 5 minutes later, the woods open up. The light is still very much in the sky, and now you can see it. The light is there. And no more shivers, no more anything. And then you start to notice the beauty, and you start to notice all of those things. And that fear is gone. Here's the thing about that, okay, is that light was always in the sky. It's not that clouds came over and turned it dark. It's that when you're that deep in the woods, it's dark. It's dark and you can't see the light. You can't see it. And that is frightening. And that's when the fear became big. That's when it became big. And all of a sudden, you're back in the light. You're actually back in the light. I say all of that to say this. The light was always there. It is the enemy's way with us to make us afraid in the dark when we can't clearly see the light. We need the light to shine. We need something to illuminate our path, because in the dark, our worst fears start the spiral. They start that very unhealthy spiral in us. And that is where it happens. So much of what we worry about, okay, so much of what we worry about, there is nothing to worry about. Interesting little fact here. As I was doing this lesson, as I was studying this, I was like shocked, because I know the statistics on this. I have done it before on how many things we fear, or how many things we just perceive, you know, how many of those things are really, you know, never going to happen. Okay. So anxiety, we can get kind of stuck in that. And our fear mechanism given to us by God, by God, okay, gets triggered at an inappropriate time when it's dark, when we can't see our way clear, when the voice of reason is out the window, then that is when those things that it, that's an inappropriate time. But the same fear response that you're built with kicks in, it triggers. Okay. And what happens is it gets stuck in the on position. If that makes any sense, we've all had things. Have you ever had your bathroom toilet be stuck in the on position? Okay. Right. Like that. And it just is going to cycle and go and cycle and go and cycle and go. All right. This is what happens. And that is that unhealthy spiral going on in your head. And all of a sudden you have made this scenario out to be something that is absurd, really, really absurd. And never in a million years, actually probably going to happen, but it seems real in the moment because it just takes another lap and it takes another lap and it's stuck in the on position. So we've taken something that is our normal healthy, is a normal healthy response, gets because of an inappropriate fear, gets stuck in the on position, and then just seeks to demolish us, actually. That's the enemy of your soul. That is the enemy of your soul. Okay. Because our fears go beyond rational to illogical because we're in overdrive. We're in overdrive. A thing that happens here, our worries, our anxieties, our fears, they don't prepare you to face what's coming tomorrow. They rob you of your joy, of your peace, of your clarity of mind, your strength. They rob you of all of those things today. And they do nothing to prepare you for tomorrow, except for more robbing. That's what will go on. We just will keep finding new concerns to worry about. New concerns to worry about, new facets to each concern. It's as though constant stewing will prepare us. So again, I say, it won't prepare you. It's not going to prepare you for anything good. Okay. More destruction. You're stuck in the on position. You've taken a healthy response and it's not healthy now. We get tight chests. We're not able to relax. We can't even be in the present moment because we're breathing too heavy. We can't even do it. Okay. We forget that there is a God who is going to give us everything that we need for today. He's going to give us everything that we need for today. He's going to give us everything that we need for next week. He's going to give us everything we need for 20 years from now. Even should our worst nightmares come true, our God is with us and walks us right through anything. Anything walks us right through that. One of my favorite names, and probably one of the first names that you ever hear God called, one of his names, it's when Moses, God is commissioning Moses to go in and talk to the Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Okay. But the first thing he was commissioned to do was speak to the Israelites. And Moses said, I don't really think they're going to listen to me very much right now. And who is it I am supposed to say sent me? What am I supposed to say? And God calls himself by his name. And he says, tell them I am sent you. I am. Okay. For just a moment, let that soak in. I am. I am what? I am anything that you could ever need, ever want, ever desire. I am right here with you always. I am. You don't have to, like, it's the wow name for God. It's the wow name for God. And I love it. And I am very partial to it because my favorite verse is Psalm 46:10, which says, be still and know that I am God. I am God. I am my name. I am God. So he's got it. He's got it. When we worry about things, when we worry about things that have happened, we have this little, if only I had done things differently, if only I would have this. Okay, that's the past. That's the past, which nothing can be done about the past. And God is not in the past. His name is I Am. When we zoom to the what ifs, that's the future. What if this happens? And you're projecting and you're taking your worst fears. What if, what if, what if? And you're, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? And God says, I'm not there. My name is I Am. But if you will stay in the present moment, I am there. I am there. And I will give you everything that you need because I am there. I am in your present moment. I am in it. I am in it. But if you go backwards, I'm not there. If you go forward, that's not where I'm at. Where am I at? I am in this present moment. I am in this present moment. Pretty powerful concept, actually, and should help us to put our if only and what ifs to bed. It really should help us to do that. Because if we don't do that, we're kind of what ifing ourselves to death. We really kind of are doing that. So here's the lie. Here's a lie. I cannot trust God to take care of my tomorrows. That's what all you're doing. And that's what all your worrying does. I can't trust him. I can't trust him to take. So it's on me. I have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I feel like it's all on me. Okay. That's a lie, by the way. Let's just call that out, shall we? That's a lie. Because you see, the truth is God is in control of every day of my life. Not some of them, not, you know, not all of them, absolutely every one of them, he is in control of. And in Luke 12:7, it says this, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Take a hold of your heads right now. Put your hands on your heads. And those are your hairs. Could you even begin to count them or know how many of them there are? No. And on any given day, you lose this many. And who can keep up with that? God. He has numbered the very hairs on your head. That God, okay, I guess we can trust him with these fears. I guess we can surrender those to him. I guess we can do that, can't we? We should, anyway. So let's talk about this emotion and let's walk it through like we have been doing this whole study. So here's the emotion. You have a fear that may be real, or it just may be a perceived threat. It may be something that you feel is a threat. you perceive it to be. So the emotion is either it's a fear of a real thing, because we have those going on, or something we perceive as a threat. So our thought process immediately goes to, I cannot trust God to take care of my tomorrow. I have to be in it. I have to worry. I have to stew. I have to fret. I have to do my part, for heaven's sakes. Okay. I can't trust God with that. All right. So what happens is our behavior, the behavior, our acting out, is that we are resistant. We are resistant to God's authority. God's authority, that's his word. We're resistant to it. In other words, we're resistant to it. It's not what we're picking up. It's not what we're getting into. It's not, we are resistant to do that thing, because that's the answer to your fears, your worries, your concerns. This right here. Okay. So we're resistant to God's authority, not healthy. So then what happens is all of your relationships, you will are either controlling or manipulative, meaning you're only going to be in the kinds of relationships that you can control, that you can control. You know how it's going to go. You're not, and or the ones that you can manipulate the circumstances so that you are in control. Okay. So that's the kind of relationships that will go on. And your consequence of that is you will be in constant anxiety. You won't be in occasional anxiety. This is constant anxiety we're going to talk about here. The soundtrack playing in the background, constant anxiety. Not the healthy way to do things, not the way we want to do things. So now we can switch over trains of thought here. The emotion is the same. You either have fear of a real or a perceived threat. Same emotion. But now you get the choice. Remember, you get to choose. So this is the place where you choose to surrender. It's where you choose to surrender those fears to God. Okay. So what's the thought that comes out of that when you choose to surrender to God? You are reassured that God is in control of every day of your life. Not you. You may think you sit in the control seat. That, by the way, is God. It is an illusion if you think you are who is sitting there. That's God. Okay. Oh, it's a seat that we've taken over, by the way, and pushed him out of the way. But, you know, nonetheless, he is supposed to be sitting there. Okay. So what you are then, your behavior, is you're actually submitted to his authority, which means that if you're surrendering your fears to God, it means you are going to his word and you are finding a verse or two or three, and you are in his word enough to combat those fears, enough to combat those fears. So you'll actually do it. You'll go seek it now. You'll go seek it because you know that God is in control and he can be trusted with your life and your tomorrows and your todays, all of it. He can be trusted with it. And guess what happens as a result of that? Your relationship stay in the present. They stay in the present. They stay not in the past. They stay right in the present, and they're open relationships where you share, they share. It's open relationships because it's ultimately God that you trust. So therefore, your relationships will reflect that. Yay. And then the consequence of that is you're unafraid. You are unafraid. And why are you unafraid? Because you know how to run to the word. You know how to surrender your fears to God and run to the word and get a piece of his word to stand on. So you don't have to be afraid. Fear has now stepped out of the anxiety soundtrack. It's not the soundtrack in the background anymore. It's still going to be an occasional thing that will surface, but it isn't playing around and around and around in the background. And I can tell you, ladies, that is really good feeling. That's a good feeling. Okay. It doesn't mean that you are not going to have anxiety on any given day or a fear that's irrational. It doesn't mean that, but it does mean that you'll know what to do with it when that happens. And even though you may let it take a few loops that it shouldn't, you know very quickly how to get it where it needs to be, under your feet, under God's feet, actually. That's whose feet it needs to be under. It says in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and he is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It's a power verse. It's a fighting verse. It's a, you know, these words are fighting words, man. They are going to cut through your stuff. They're going to cut through your stuff. So see, if you will, in the midst of a panic attack, a fear, a threat, those things coming against you, if you will continue proclaiming God's word, even if you don't feel like it at the moment, even if you don't necessarily trust it yet, you just keep doing it. Okay. And his word will prevail. His word will prevail. In 2 Timothy, it tells us his word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It will cut through anything you have going on, joints and marrow. It will go right through it and it will accomplish the purpose for which he has sent it. No word of God's returns void. None, not one. Okay. So if you can, keep doing it, say it again, say it out loud, but say it again and again, find your verse that will help you combat the fears. And I strongly suggest, and we're going there in just a moment, Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. So that is the portion of scripture for fear, for anxiety, for worries, all of it. It's just the go-to scripture for that. And just keep going over it and over it and over it. Okay. Because you see, at some point it will click. At some point that is going to click and you are going to feel that weight lift right off your shoulders. It's going to lift right off your shoulders, right off them. And you are going to believe that God is your stronghold and that you are safe and that you are safe and that he has you come what may. He's got you. He's got you. Your worrying doesn't prevent what's going to happen. Your worrying can't do that. It can't do that. It just can make you sick, anxious, in the middle of a panic attack. It can make you powerless. It can make you a lot of things that are not healthy to go through it. Or you can choose something different, which is his word. You can choose something different, okay? And believe that the Lord is truly the one holding on to you. Because when you believe that, you really don't have anything to fear. Just like that psalm we just read. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hello, God's got me. Of whom shall I be afraid? God's got me. So What do you have breaking into your life right now, trying to steal your joy, your peace? What do you have going on? Because here is where you need to hold on to his promise, friend. Here is where you need to know that nothing can hold you captive any longer, because he's faithful. He is faithful, and he is your stronghold. He is the light in a very dark forest. He is the light. Walk into his light. Let it shine. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. So you ask yourself, what is trying to break in and destroy my, you know, my peace? What's trying to do that? What's taking my joy? Ask yourself that question. All right. And then ask yourself this question. Am I giving God the same amount of room in my head to break through in comparison to the room that I am giving fear to roll around in there? Because we are usually not giving him more room than the fear. We're usually giving the fear, we're letting it be the thing that's taking us on that spiral and down a very dark place. So I just am learning to ask myself that question. Okay, and what has more room in there right now? That's not God. It's not his word. It's not his word. Okay. Paul knew that we would spiral. He knew that we would spiral. Okay, which is how come he gave us Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. It's why we have those precious words. And you need to know something. Paul was in prison when he spoke those. There was a price on his head. He was going to his death. Okay, that was the sentence that was proclaimed on him. Wait, you think you wouldn't be a little afraid of that? Okay, and here comes God's word. Ready? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present those requests to God, and that peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Really good power verse, really good fighting words, good power verse. I would commit that to memory. If you don't already have it committed to memory, I would commit it to memory. But I want to read it to you in the version that shakes me to my very core and will pull me out of even the greatest of fears. And that is in the Amplified. This is in the Amplified, and I am going to read it to you. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. He didn't say about some things. Oh, it's okay. It's okay for you to worry about that. That's okay. He said anything. Anything means all. There are no exclusions here. None. Nada. None. He says, don't fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite and specific requests. Definite requests. With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. He wants to know what you want. So instead of sitting there worrying about it, you know what? Tell him, God, you say I don't have to worry about anything, and you say to bring my request, and my request is this. Okay. So you form that fear, you form that worry, into something that you ask of God. ask him. That's a petition. That's a request. Make that known to God. And this is what it says. And God's peace shall be yours. Not, I don't know. That one's a little too far gone. I don't think you get that peace today. No. It says, will be yours. God's peace will be yours. That tranquil state of a soul that is assured of his salvation in Christ. Isn't that powerful? And so fears nothing from God and is content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is content with whatever may come. That peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Seriously, powerful thing there. Okay, a garrison is a virtual army that, and they would position themselves to protect. That is the heavenly army that mounts guard and protects your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So picture that, if you will, the next time you find those fears overtaking you, those worries, those anxieties, those things that, all of those things. Picture that. Picture that. And I am thinking that when Elisha was, they were holed up in a particular place, and they had an army coming against them. And he was in there with his servant, and the servant stepped out onto the steps, and he said, hey, master, wow, oh boy, we are surrounded. We are really surrounded. What are we going to do? And Elisha says, he doesn't talk to his servant at this point. He talks to God. And this is what he says: God, show my servant who are with us. And the servant looks out the door, and God answered that prayer of Elisha's, and he could see the heavenly armies. He could see that garrison. He could see them, and they were way more and way more. All of a sudden, these guys look like little peons. You know, they didn't look like much, but they looked like a lot a few moments before. He didn't pray over him and say, oh, you know, it's going to be okay, or sit there and worry and fret with him. No, he asked God to show him who was with us. You know, God, show us that you are with us in this moment, and we'll mount a garrison around our hearts, our minds in Christ Jesus. Powerful, very powerful. So the thing about this verse is it doesn't say, it's not a suggestion. Notice the words, do not be anxious about anything. He means do not be anxious about anything. That's coming way more in the form of instruction to us. It is coming in, but here's the beauty of it. He says that don't be anxious. You don't have to be anxious, because I am your more than enough. You don't have to be anxious, because I've numbered the hairs on your head, because I know you're coming out and you're going in, because I know it. I know it. And I am with you. I am with you in it. I am. That's the reason that you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be. So That's the way we look at that. God's promises give us ultimate hope in every circumstance. He meets every need, and He will, in the end, resolve every problem that we will face here on earth. In the end. And it doesn't mean in the, you know, right in the moment that we want it and in the way that we want it, but God gets the last word. God gets the last word. Don't worry. He's got the last word. So we want to have clear guidance for ridding ourselves of these anxious thoughts are choosing to be grateful and choosing to think about what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Think on these things. Think on these things. Let's zero in on truth. Let's zero in on that. Okay. Because we're back to the law of replacement. If we surrender to God our fear and our anxiety. So now we're going to replace it with what? Thinking on these things. What is true? Calling out your lie, calling out your fear, and saying, what is true about this? What is true? What gets most of us in trouble isn't even real fears, not even real fears. We worry about things that may never happen. In fact, research shows us that 97% of what we worry over is just our fearful mind punishing us with exaggerations and misperception. 97%. That's a big number. That's a big number of fears that will never be, never come to pass. They are, that's a big percentage. I would say roughly 10 years ago, the science on that was rolling in at like 80% were fears that would never be realized, would never come to pass. And now the percentage has grown to 97. What is that saying to us? In a world that is throwing constant threats at us, fears, we got COVID in the mix. We got things going on in the world. We got all of these things to be even more afraid of. And yet the percentage of imagined and exaggerated fears is higher. What does that tell you about the enemy of your soul? What does that say? That says that these are not things to fear. These are not things to fear. Because why? Because God is right in there with us. If anything, I would have thought that statistic would have gone the other way. I would have thought it would, we have more stuff. We have more things to be afraid of. And yet it didn't go the other way. Those false fear is this false evidence appearing real. Fear is false evidence appearing real. 97% of what we worry over is nothing more than your fearful mind punishing you with exaggerations and making things look like they're not. That's the world we live in right now. They're trying to make us fear things so that they can move on their agendas, so that they can move. They are trying to capitalize on your fears. And the statistics will say that those are imagined, punishing fears. 97%. 97%. That's kind of huge. Okay. Kind of huge. Truth is the most powerful weapon that we have against the enemy. He is a liar. He is the father of lies. So we fight the enemy with whatever is true, whatever is real, whatever is true, whatever is real. So take an anxious thought that you have had running around on the little hamster wheel. Take one of those thoughts. Okay. Write it down. What's the thought? Okay. Now diagnose the thought. Is it true? Is it true? 97%. Probably not. Probably not true. Okay. Take it one step further and you say, what does God say about this? What does God have to say about it? What is the truth on it? What is the truth on it? You have to consult scripture, and you do that with trusted people in your community. In other words, if you don't know where to find it, if you don't know where to go for that piece of truth, it is where you find community. It's where you find that trusted, those trusted ones of community. Remember, we talked the last time, who have you got on your arms? Who can you trust? Who's your Aaron? Who's your her that will hold your arms up, that will help you in the face of what it is that you're facing, your fears, your whatever, but whatever you're facing, who's there? Okay. What does God say about it? What is the truth? Okay. And if you can't find it, or if you need help with it, then go to a trusted someone, godly advice, someone that you can have that. You can have that say, you can have theirs. They will help. They will help. Okay. Because most of us are probably okay at finding the thought, even recognizing it as a lie, okay, and even knowing what the truth is, but we kind of fail on the last step. We kind of fail on that, okay, because we keep believing the lie, we keep acting on it, we keep letting the what ifs stir our thoughts into a frenzy. Stir our thoughts into a frenzy. So what is the thing to help with that? What is the thing to help with that? Okay. It's to go to war, read God's word, find every weapon available in his word to fight it. Okay. And it is to go find your community. It's to go find a trusted one that you can, that can help you call out that fear. Call out that fear. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So here's how the truth of God works. It goes like this. We're the prisoner. We're the prisoner. Okay. Taking the blows of accusation after accusation from the enemy. We're trapped in what feels like a prison of lies, but we're trapped in it. And we can't sometimes discern the truth from the lies. He keeps us in chains. But you see, Jesus has paid for every mess you've ever made, every mistake you've ever made, every failure that you've ever had. All right. We do not have to keep those chains on. Shake them loose. Be the elephant, ladies. Shake them loose. You know, you're walking around much bigger now. You don't need that wimpy little chain holding you. Okay. The enemy's got wimpy chains around you, and they are wimpy because you are something different now that you walk in the freedom and the salvation of Jesus Christ, your Lord. And by that power and by that blood, wow, that he shed on that cross, he loosened those chains. Now, you got to quit dragging them along. You know, you got to quit dragging them along because that's kind of what we're doing. So when the enemy comes accusing you, chains in hand, because he's saying, come on, he's dangling them. He wants them back around you. He does. Come on. Then we pray that we will remember the truth for ourselves, that we will stand on it, and we will remind him who he is and that he has no power here. He has no right. We're not taking those chains back. We're not taking. It's where you remind him that everything you're accusing me of, everything that you are pointing at me, guess what? That has already been charged to the account of my Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. What he did on that cross defeated you, enemy, and you may return to the pit from where you came. Not taking your chains back. I don't have to. I stand free. I stand free. He paid it all. There is nothing left here for you to point out. Nothing left. It's kind of wow. So it's done. It's dealt with. And he has no case there. And just like that, when you send him back with his chains back to the pit from where he came, your door's open. Your prison door's open. Wow. Your prison door's open. Okay. It's not that we don't take responsibility for some of our action or our actions or our mistakes, but you see, we don't have to be defined by them. We do not have to be defined by them. And the enemy says we do. And he says that is an absolute and utter lie from the pit, because we do not have to be defined by it. Not our mistakes, not our failures. They are not the thing. Those chains have been loosed, and it is time we walk like they have been loosed. It's time that we did. It's time that we walk in the authority of what we have been given. His accusations can't hold us down anymore, and those chains drop to the ground, and we can move forward without looking back, because that's what fighting lies with the truth of God's word does for us. It's what it does for us. It sets us free. It sets us free. I love Abraham Lincoln. He was the 16th president of this United States. Okay. And I had a thing when I was schooling, when I was teaching, and it was a list of, like, it was a list of 10 failures of Abraham Lincoln. And it lists them one by one. Abraham Lincoln, ran for Congress and failed. He did this and he 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 failed. I'm talking, 11 of those things. And he was a man that would not be defined by his failures, because the 12th thing that he did was become the president of this United States. He served in office for only 4 years before he was assassinated. Do you want to know what he accomplished in 4 years? Wow. He brought us through the Civil War. He ended slavery. He did more things in 4 years, but man, that was a man. that for the better part of his life would have been considered a failure by the world's standards and even by his own, I'm sure. But he walked with his God and he did not let those things define him. And every time the enemy come with those chains, trying to put them here, you're no good at this. You know, really, are you not going to get the picture here? You are. Why do you keep trying to move forward with this? Those were the voices of the enemy. And those are the voices in your heads too. Those are the voices. You can't keep coming. This is over. Forget this. One of the more powerful history lessons that we've ever had is right there. We have got to quit being defined by our past mistakes, by our failures, by the things we haven't done right, wish we could have done differently. If only I had done this. Do not be defined by that. Do not be defined by that. Take a look down at your leg, because there's no chain holding you. Those chains are not on you. They're not. But he is constantly the enemy of your soul, dangling them. He wants them around your ankles again. He wishes to define you by your mistakes, your failures, your things, the things, your fears, those things. Okay? Those things. You just remember, these are fighting words. These are fighting words, and they set you free. They set you free. So, what kind of fears and accusations and lies are battering you right now? What? Think on that this week. It's really kind of your homework project. Think on that, because you know what? It's time to walk out into the light. It was an illusion, the dark forest up there in Glacier. It was an illusion. I felt like I was going deeper into the dark. And 5 minutes later, I was standing in the light. That's it, ladies, in a nutshell, this lesson. That's it in a nutshell. That light is less than 5 minutes away. Okay? The enemy has you thinking you're in the dark. And he has got your mind whirling and swirling and spiraling out of control. And that's wrong. And that's wrong. And he is a liar. And he's a thief. And he has come to steal, kill, and destroy you. And make no mistake about it, put those chains back on you. But God took them off, and they're done. He took them off, and they are done. Let's close a prayer. Precious Jesus, I ask this night that you, in the sound of my voice, anyone listening to this, that you would remind them who they are in you, that you would remind them that those chains have been lifted off, and that God, it is really the price you paid to let your son die on that cross for us. It is such a slap in your face to put those chains back on. The enemy, he is trying so hard to get us to do that. And God, we need to remember who you are and what you did, because that day is done. That day is done, and we no longer have to be captive to the lies, and we certainly do not have to take on those fears. We don't have to do any of that. We can surrender them to you and walk out into your light, walk out into the freedom. Not any longer defined with that debilitating soundtrack going on in the back of our minds. You're not enough. You'll never be enough. You've never done this right, and you'll never do it right. It's the enemy of our souls. God says, you are mine. And you step into my light, my freedom, and be defined by me. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Thank you for that. Your precious and most powerful name. Amen.